G3. The Model of Being and Its Universal Laws. Number 16B.
Yes. So, what did this sentence mean? It means that actually the object of investigation, the infinite, as well as the way we can perceive the infinite through consciousness, the lens, the grid, that both science and consciousness are now at work in the economy of being. That this being is very much economized, that it is not redundant, that it is not wild, but that it tries to find always the simplest denominator, the most economical way of expressing something. And therefore, if we see that very economical way of the chart, how with very little can do all, that with less can do more, that's economy, to do more with less, that if we can do that, according to the law of mind, therefore from the standpoint of the divine mind, not of the human mind, looking at the chart and thinking, what is it all about, will ultimately assert its absolute supremacy, which means that if we begin to understand this chart, that this will gain supremacy in our consciousness. That finally, we can't help but thinking and being aware in the way of that model of being. That we are thinking in categories of that model of being. And therefore gain a supremacy through that economy of the chart. Which means that more and more that chart will get hold of us. And if that chart gets more and more hold of us, something very economical, consciously economical, takes hold of us, and with very little we will be able to do more. We'll be able to sit back and just contemplate the inner value of that model of being and have a feeling with that we cover the whole world issue. So that with less, we can do more. This chart, when we look at it, must have all the criteria of a holistic science. So let's quickly look at it if it has. Well, we see on the top that this is a chart of the infinite principle. Therefore, the holistic sense that we have, the most holistic sense, is the infinite one as one infinite principle. So we go out from that infinite principle. But we don't leave it at that and say just in a mystical way, well, God is principle and that's all there is, but we want to see the inner content of that principle. So we begin to see that we can put the holistic categories of being into it. So in this model, we have the three main categories of being. We have the category of the four levels of science. We have the category of the fourfold operation of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, and we have the third main category, namely the synonymous term for the nature of God, through the synonymous term of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. There is nothing more than that in that chart. This is a very rational, economical use of the three main categories of being. And so from this point on, all what we need to know is then how these three categories of being that are on that chart laid out as the holistic system of being. We have seen system is when categories are interrelated. We have three main categories. These three main categories are interrelated in this chart. So it is holistic, a holistic system. From that point on, we have to use our understanding of the laws that reign within that chart. Those laws are not spelled out in terms, they are spelled out or symbolized through the arrangement of these categories. So that these categories give, really through intersection, always points of intersection. So we have point of intersection, say, of the Word with the Word, the Word with the Christ, the Word with Christianity, the Word with science, like this. And therefore, in this way, we begin to unfold again what has been reduced. We first have taken the infinite and reduced it to a holistic system, which was very simple. And now comes the synthesis that we say, what can we do if we combine these categories in various ways? What are the relationship of the various point of intersection that are in the chart? And in this way, we really arrive at the various structures. We will do one or the other exercise then together in order to have a practical example of a structure. But you see what we have seen as definition of structure. It says that it is that structure shows that the parts of a whole always are characterized by the whole, which means that we can take any one of these boxes or point of intersections in this chart and can throw the searchlight on that main point, just illuminate one aspect of it, but always knowing that we cannot cut them out of the whole chart, but that they are always surrounded by every other part. So that no part in this model of being in this chart can stand by its own. It will always be incomplete until it reflects every other part. That is the meaning of structure. So, again, all this was a bit theoretical, but always helping a step further until we can approach it with examples and with exercises. Now, in order to explain this chart in its deeper meaning and what it wants to accomplish, we will only in a short way accentuate what is the meaning, the deeper meaning of those three categories of being that build up the chart. And so I start with the category of the levels, the four levels, which is called dimensionalism. Our four levels of science, science itself, divine science, absolute Christians, and Christian science, are four levels of science. And it's usually called dimensionalism. So let's give some time on dimensionalism so that we are really very clear about the levels of science, why we need levels of science, how we can use the levels of science, and how we should not use the level of science. With other words, what are the laws ruling in the level of science And what are these right laws, and how could we mistake them? Therefore, it becomes very practical for our lives the moment we can see how we can use them and how we can misuse them. Using and misusing are practical questions. So I want to talk for quite a while about dimensionalism. I have written a whole book on the four levels of spiritual consciousness, and most of you have taken the time and the love to study that book. That was an assignment for this summer school, and so I rely very much on the fact that you know what is in that book. Let's say what is the important point, the main point in it, so that I don't have to explain that too much, so that I can give time much more again to the nest in which these levels are hugged and kept, so that we know what we are doing and why we are doing it. That perhaps is not so much brought out in my book. Also, in my book on the science of oneness of being, I have a short explanation of dimensionalism on page 49 to 51. It's very short. A much longer explanation, very good one, you have in Issues in Science, number 6. There you have about 30 pages alone on the concept of dimensionalism. So when you have time, go back to that and refresh your thought so that we get better and better and warmer and more conscious concept of it, and not so much a thinking concept of it, where we have to think, what do the levels mean, what means the level of science, what means the level of absolute Christian science, so that it becomes part of ourselves, part of our consciousness. And that is naturally what we have to attain. Dimension are also called levels, but we have to see that levels are not layers. They are not stratas. That's different. In geology, for instance, you also have layers that are one on top of the other. And if we look at a nice geological example, we can see layer on layer and layer very exactly separated according to the geological history of those layers, how they came into existence. And so we have many layers on top of each other. These are not dimensions. These are layers. Layers or levels are something else. Layers exclude each other in geology. Layers exclude each other. They are separate, they are isolated, they have a meaning of their own. Whereas really levels are the very opposite. They blend with each other. We call them nested levels because where one level is, there exactly are all the other levels too. So that the levels are only a conceptual help for our understanding reality. The levels do not exist in reality. They are again, as every criteria of science, only here for our understanding, not for being itself. Dimensions are defined, for instance, like this, that one identity appears different from different standpoints without losing its original identity. So dimensionalism will show us that something is something, but appears as, but can appear as many other things. That's perhaps put into a few words, which up to recently we would have refused to say in every science. In every science, something was something and always had appear as that same something. Today, with the level consciousness, we can see that something is something and remains something, though it appears in many different ways. The phenomena may change very much. So the concept that one, therefore dimensionalism, I read from the study aid, that dimensionalism means the concept that one identity, when translated to different levels or standpoints of consciousness, can appear in different forms, while at the same time preserving its one original identity. This is another definition saying more or less the same thing. But it introduces a term translation, which says an identity must always appear exactly the same way on one level. But if it is translated to another level, then it appears in a different form. Then the appearance changes. Can you see the difference? So an identity has always the same appearance as long as we are discussing that identity on one level, But if we discuss that identity, that it can be translated to various levels, then we must take into account that that one identity on other levels appear as different phenomena, very different, so that the one becomes the many. Again, that old great question. Now, you know that in general the Christian Scientist does not know more than one level, namely only that level on which he is thinking. And therefore, because he has no concept that he should be able to think in many levels, therefore vertically, right through many levels, he never can agree with the other fellow on Christian Science. And then you start endless arguments with each other. And the one says this, and the other one says, no, it is not so, it is so and so. And so they argue who is right, and everyone wants to be right, naturally. And so the arguments start. If they first would ask themselves, from which standpoint do you say that, and from which standpoint do I say something else about the same subject, then they would have perhaps to agree that they are talking about the same thing, but from different levels. So we can see how important it is to have a consciousness of levels, a dimensional consciousness. This explains something that we have read 1,000 times in our lives in the textbook, where Mrs. Eddy says, identity. You see, it's always about an identity. What is an identity that is unchangeable? Identity is the reflection of spirit, she says. But that reflection in multifarious forms of the living principle love. Can you see, she says, an identity does not always reflect itself as the same thing, in the same form, but she says in multifarious forms. The one can be multifarious. Have you noticed that? That seems to be, in the old science, absolutely illogical. That something cannot is not just always that something, but that it is a lot of things and can appear in multifarious forms. If we would understand that, and they all refer to God, the identity is a reflection of spirit, but multifarious form, and each of the multifarious form reflects the same thing, the living principle love, she says. So this is a big thing. This is has a terrific implication for understanding the text and afterwards for practice. Because in practice we will always have to do with various levels of thought, of various levels of understanding, of various levels of experience, of various levels of problems. We not only always have negative problems, have positive problems, we can also have the problem of evolution, we can also have the problem of beingness. So according to the problem, we have to see that we must take into consideration more than always one level. If we only take in one level, then we reason always only linearly. Always on the same level we reason with each other. But if we see that there are various levels, here I show them on top of each other, but we know they are nested in, but for our understanding are various levels, then our discussion flows horizontally on various levels, and can take in various points of view on the same subject and understand each other. And don't always say, now you are wrong, I'm right. So the dimensional sense says this is the answer, really, to a one-dimensional linear way of thinking. Therefore, if we have only one level, that means that we look at reality with blinkers. I think you say blinders. According to England or America, it's one or the other. We look at reality with blinders, with blinkers. And we are not aware of the multidimensional reality. We narrow down multidimensional reality just to one level. That naturally is not holism. That is not reducing the whole. So it divides really our one world into many worlds. The one has this dimension, the other that dimension, the other that dimension. The one is more the practical type and therefore always takes in the level of Christian Science. The other is an absolutist that doesn't want to be troubled by the problem of the world, so he becomes an absolutist on the level of absolute Christian Science because he only acknowledges the level of absolute Christian Science, which is absolutely wrong because it's one-dimensional. And the other is always high up on cloud nine in divine science, and I start from the top, and that's the only thing, and I start from the top, and I start from the top, I don't go down, I stay on the roof and don't go down. So if he has only the top level of science or divine science, he is wrong just the same because he thinks one-dimensionally, no matter on which level. He thinks one-dimensionally. So we have to see that we get rid of it. So the materialist, for instance, is the one that has these blinders on. Blinkers, blinders in America? Both. Blinders. All right. I speak in America, so it is blinders. Good. So the materialist has blinders, and therefore he cuts out everything that has to do with the spiritual. So the material scientist that negates the spiritual is a one-dimensional thinker. The absolutist that cuts out the human, he has also, again, blinders, and he has a one-dimensional universe, just the absolutists. Or the scientist that cuts out religion or Christianity is a one-dimensional thinker. He cuts out another possibility. And the religionist, who thinks one-dimensionally, is the one who cuts off, who crosses off science. And so many do. If we look into the world, most people are one-dimensionalists. And this we have to correct. And if we look into the general field of Christian scientists, we see also that they are one-dimensionalists, because they have never thought that there are many dimensions. So if they have never been thinking about it, that there are many dimensions in Christian science, naturally they have to remain one-dimensionalists. And to be a one-dimensionalist means to be a specialist, a real specialist, that specialist who never puts his special field into the whole. And we have seen what Schrödinger has said, the specialist is really stagnant. And that's why the movement stagnates. The movement is not multidimensional in its approach. Okay, this afternoon we go on, and we need to study it this afternoon.